Support for tonight's podcast is made possible by Microsoft Teams, available in Office 365. Visit office.com/teams to learn even more.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game. At all?
Survivor know-it-alls. Survivor know-it-alls. Steve and Rob went out and down. Got the game all figured out. They know it all.
Yes, that's right. We are back. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back together live again after the episode. And yes, Steve Fishbag, we are in fact live.
Wow. That was a shock to the system. Wow. What an episode, Rob. I was just tweeting about this. I was so ready to be bored and disappointed. And I thought, you know, what a boring way to present this obvious boot. Of course they're voting out Libby. It's like such the transparently right move to do. And like this whole like side thing about maybe we'll vote out Bradley because he's a little bit annoying, like about the rice or whatever, and he snapped at the challenge. Like, come on, guys. Like, don't screw around with me. And then bam, Bradley goes home. Wow, I'm reeling.
Yeah, I was about to tweet out at like 8:50. Like, is anybody buying this? Is anybody like, we heard so much about Bradley referring to himself as a dick. I didn't even know you were allowed to say that. If you're allowed to say it on Survivor, I guess you're allowed to say it on the podcast. But yeah. Wow, I thought that, okay, no way. This is like, what is this? Survivor 1, Survivor 2? That, oh, like this guy's kind of, he's grating on our nerves. We should vote him out, even though he's in our alliance. And then lo and behold, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I cannot believe it. And I have been trying to think of rash and like the things I've seen some things on Twitter. I don't totally buy like, oh, he was trying to split up. Dominic was trying to split up Kellen and Bradley. But like, you know, they weren't dating then, at least as far as we know, you know, and it didn't seem like, I mean, that they were a power couple at that time. We certainly didn't see anything on the show to indicate that. I really want to figure this out, Rob, because I just do not get it. It seems like such a transparently bad move to me. I mean, Bradley is what you want in an ally. He's like what you fantasize about at night on Survivor when you're thinking about your alliances. You know, in terms of like, he's incredibly loyal. He knows the game. So, you know, you can play the game with him. He's strategic. You can talk game with him. And he's never going to win at the end. Like, he's got all three things you want in an ally. I just don't get it. Like, I don't even think I've ever played with someone who had all three things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll explore all of that, Steven. Aren't you that person? You're the three things. JT found you.
Yeah, but I want...
You're the third kind of heat.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why I was so distraught to see Bradley go.
Yes, you related to him so much. No, okay, so we've got a lot to talk about here tonight as we go through everything from this episode and this really wild boot. I really still can't get over it. Hashtag RHAP. We'll take your questions as well here in the chat room as we get ready here to break down this episode. Tomorrow, it's an exit interview that you got to hear. Bradley Kahigi will be with me on the exit interview. We will talk with him about everything. I'm sure that will be a interesting conversation, Steven.
Wow, I can't wait to hear. Well, so my thought is like, there had to be something else. It kind of reminded me of Spencer's boot in Token Sheens when it was like, Spencer screwed up at the challenge. He had to go. And it was like, that obviously was not why we voted out Spencer. And like, something else, there's no way they voted him out because of he was annoying about the rice. Like, I hope that's not the case. Like, Dominic seems like a really smart guy. Chelsea, from the little we've seen of her, actually has seemed very strategic. I have to assume there's something else. So I am very excited to hear.
Hey, well, we'll talk it through. Yeah. And so, of course, then tomorrow that I am going to be speaking with Jessica Johnston from Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers on the podcast. We will talk with her. And then this weekend, I will have Aubrey here in the studio to take your Survivor feedback questions. So make sure to get those in. You can send the questions for Jessica as well. Survivor at RobHasAWebsite wiggleroom.com for that. And of course, Wiggle Room coming on Monday. Steven, yeah, I agree with you that I did not get this move from a strategic standpoint. It seemed to me that if Dominic is telling us last week, I can't trust Libby. Libby is the devil in the angel clothes. And then in Angel's body, I was trying to be more family friendly. And so
we all have bodies.
It felt like, okay, that and we saw that Bradley, he wasn't freelancing. He wasn't trying to pull something over on Dominic. This was very surprising.
Yes. And here's Chelsea and Bradley have been together the entire game. There have been two tribe swaps. For her, Bradley's the only person she's been with every day. They voted together a number of times. You know, Bradley, you know, swaps back to Navidi last week. He says to Dominic, you're my number one ally. You're my guy. Like, he has proven his trust to this group. And meanwhile, Libby has voted against them. She betrayed them in the Morgan vote.
Yeah. I just wonder that does Dominic that, you know, he has talked about how, you know, his hero is Boston Rob. He really wants to play like him. And I think about, like, what would Boston Rob do in this situation? And I wonder if he might look at, okay, who are the people I can control?
Right.
Who are the people I can't control? Bradley is going to be an unstable element, potentially, post-merge. Could that be a reason why he wanted to do this?
I mean, that seems like maybe that's his rationale. But, like, from our POV, or from my POV anyway, as a viewer, Bradley seems like the more controllable one. I mean, he's obviously very strong-willed. We've seen that. But, like, Brad, like, you know, Libby entering the merge, like, she's got no allegiances to anybody, right? Like, she's, you know, Donathan is an original Malolo, you know. She's got, who are the other original Malolos? Like, Laurel, Michael. Mm-hmm. You know, she has very few ties to anybody. She seems to me the more erratic player and the person who might, you know, whereas, you know, Bradley is, he's just so perfect. Like, you want that guy, the obvious guy who's annoying everybody. I mean, the one other thing I was thinking, and let me know what you think about this, is that Bradley was so clearly, like, we on Cambodia had this idea of, and this was like Spencer's idea, it was all of our idea, I don't want to, that the closer Abby got to the finals, the more irresistible she would be as a person to take to the finals, you know, which would hog a spot for anybody else, right? Like, mm-hmm. And so take her out sooner to, like, open up more room in the finals for the rest of you. I mean, what about that idea?
So I can't imagine that people are thinking about the final three already at this point. I mean, is it possible that he was just that insufferable to live with?
It seems like how, I mean, what we saw was like a few caustic remarks. I mean, well, tell me, I mean, maybe Dominic is trying to, like, build his little army, you know, against Chris, yeah, in the merge. Like, he thinks if I have Libby and Donathan, like, they're loyal just to me. They have nowhere else to go. I mean, that's, like, that's a strategy, right? Like, kind of isolate, like, I guess that's what you're saying, right? Like, isolate this group. They have to be loyal to me because they've got nobody else. Bradley's got this whole other group of Navidis over there. But, like, to me, it seems like, you know, the whole theme of this season has been, like, are you Navidi strong or are you not? And then to enter that merge having voted against a Navidi again and blindsided, you know, that Kellen faction, like, it just seems really scary.
Well, but the thing that doesn't make sense about that idea is that I believe that Bradley was a Dominic loyalist in the Chris versus Dominic battle. I think that he was right there. I think that the people that were against Chris from the get-go were, you know, Wendell, Kellen, Bradley, and I'm not sure, I think there was, like, one other person that was sort of with them in that, so Morgan, and those were the people I think that were sort of on their side, so it seems odd, and I wonder if it feels like that are you cutting yourself off from Kellen? I mean, I guess where else is she going to go, but it felt like that Bradley was with them, and you have to go back, I think, maybe to that conversation that we saw when it was Laurel and Donathan talking with Dominic and with Wendell separately. And so does Dominic feel like that, okay, Donathan, I have him so much under control, and then we have Libby also, and those are two pawns that I have with me, as opposed to Bradley, who is this unpredictable element?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the only rationale we can see. But again, I mean, like, let's say that's his rationale. And I really do think that he has to have some other rationale that we just didn't see, as does Chelsea. But Libby has voted against them. Like, she's the opposite of a pawn. She's betrayed you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she didn't know. And maybe she was just, you know, they told her to do it. James isn't around anymore. She doesn't have anybody to follow. It wasn't her idea. You know, who knows what she ended up saying to Dominic. I mean, they've been together for a while since that vote. That was right when they swapped. And really, Dominic has been with Libby now for, you know, what are we on, like day 17, day 18. So it's been about 12 days that they've been together. So maybe he's been able to cultivate that bond. I also wonder this, Stephen, that do you think, is it possible that Dominic might have a touch of the big move itis?
I mean, I think that probably has to be driving them. Like,
based on everything he's done in this season, yeah, and his resume.
Wouldn't it be crazy if we voted out Bradley right before the merge? Like, Libby's so obvious. Wouldn't this be a nuts idea? I do think that had to be a motivating factor. You know, and again, I'm sure we'll hear more of the specific details. I'm honestly more confused about why Chelsea went along with it, you know, because she's been with Bradley the whole time. They voted together so many times. It just, you know, it's like if Bradley's that annoying, she's been living with him for 3 weeks, you know, like, she's gotten used to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just feels like that there's so much of the story that we didn't get to see. And hopefully more of this comes to light between secret scenes and what we hear from Bradley and everything moving forward. Stephen, how do you feel like that the Dominic versus Chris battle is shaping up for next week? Because it looks like we're going to head into the merge.
Well, I'm worried about, I mean, you know, if it's Kellen next week, if Kellen is the merge boot.
So do you think that both Chris and Dominic could potentially survive the merge boot next week? Because, well, now, don't forget, Dominic has the legacy advantage.
Well, right. Dominic has a legacy advantage. I think he's got to play it, right?
I would think so. If it's going to be
wait till six, if it's like a chaotic merge, and you know Chris is after you. But what would Chris do? How does Chris save himself? Maybe there's just no numbers on Chris. Or maybe Chris is all the numbers.
Well, I would think that the numbers that Chris would have going into some sort of, if it's as straightforward as Dominic versus Chris, where he seems to have Seabass and by proxy have Jenna and then have Angela, but that's only four. And it feels like that the rest of the people have some connection to where Desiree could end up falling back with Chris, but she also has ties to Kellen. Kellen might be upset, though, about Bradley not being there, and Kellen Desiree could end up swinging to Chris.
That's what I think could happen. I mean, Chris and Angela have been Navidi strong.
And Kellen has an extra vote.
Kellen's got an extra vote. Kellen's been bonded with Angela now, right? Like, they've sort of made up. I mean, I can see them being pissed that Bradley was voted out. You know, now they've got this apostate on their hands.
This what?
Apostate? No.
Tyson?
Yeah, this Tyson character on their hands. I can see them going being team. I mean, you know, it's so, I mean, as we all know, the merge is just like so many chaotic things happen. There's so many different factions who assemble for one vote. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're an alliance. I wish there was some other term to communicate that strategic arrangement of just sort of being a group of people coming together for one vote. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, Dominic has got to play the legacy advantage next week, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. We haven't ever seen the legacy advantage played at 13, which is exciting to have it played or at the earlier slot as opposed to at the later slot, where the couple times that we've seen it before, the person that had it didn't feel like they were going to be in danger there. So I think that
was like a de facto.
Yeah, that could be very interesting to see it actually used earlier in the game and then not clogging up going to the final six. So that would be very interesting. So it could be a really fun way to see everything shake out heading into the merge. Stephen, it was a night of advantages also on Survivor. After a slow couple of weeks for the advantages, they were back. And I think that perhaps this could be a Survivor record for the most number of idols / advantages distributed in one hour of Survivor in three.
Wow. And two of them from Survivor Micronesia.
Yes, it was a Micronesia night tonight where we saw both the effing stick and Eric's immunity necklace come into the game. So let's see.
They've matured, Rob. They've matured.
They've evolved. So they've become something new. So let's talk about them in the order that they came into play. So Michael finds the second idol there over at Malolo. Now, interestingly enough, I assume that there was not another idol at Malolo since it did not come into play when it was a much more dire situation for James or for Michael. And then ultimately it gets found this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. And it was once again infuriating, right, to see this. I mean, it really had reminders of last season, Heroes versus Hustlers, where you had Ben scrambling, looking for this idol everywhere, and the Dominant Alliance being, you know, totally disregarding him. This time we had Michael, you know, all over the island, and you have Dez saying, oh yeah, looks like he's looking for the idol. You have Angelo saying, looks like he's looking for the idol, and they're not doing anything. They're not babysitting him. Now, you know, they haven't seen Heroes versus Hustlers, but they have seen every previous season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I found that interesting. So bad move on their part to let him go and search for the idol when he is the obvious next one to go, especially if you're those two.
Yeah. I mean, they've got, you know, they're the Malolo has lost every challenge until this point, right? There's every reason to think they're going to lose again. And they're letting the one obvious and also the only target go and look in the jungle for this idol.
Yeah. So he finds it. It's the effing stick, which has now become a cursed item, Stephen. I never thought of the stick as a cursed item, but it turns out all three people that ended up touching the effing stick ended up being voted out subsequently.
Huh.
Who knew? Who knew? Yeah.
Curses are being really thrown around a lot on this season. Everything is cursed. The Malolo flag is cursed. It's like, you know, everything is like, I don't know. Some other example. They're out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that I think people should stop going on Survivor. Every single thing people are touching is cursed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Scary.
Okay. So now the effing stick is back in play. Kellen has the opportunity. She goes back to Ghost Island. This time she is going to risk it to get the biscuit, Steven.
Oh, great West Nail. Wes Nail, right? He said that.
Well, Wes Nail did say that back in San Juan del Sur.
When
he was eating the cursed plate of buffalo wings.
Yeah. Everyone who ate from that plate was eliminated that season.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so he said, risk it to get the biscuit. And so Kellen recites that, which the cursed line, probably a bad thing to say. And so she ends up winning the cursed extra vote that Michaela didn't find. Now, it's amazing. I don't even know how Sarah Lucina won Survivor, that she touched all of these cursed items and used them to win the game. So I don't know.
We both agree, right, that Kellen made the right. This was a no-brainer for Kellen, right? I mean, she thought about it. Like, do I risk my vote for this advantage? You know, I felt good last time about not risking my vote, but, you know, this time, do I do it? It seems like it's the right choice here, right, Rob?
Yeah, it seems like a slam dunk. Now, if she did lose her vote, hypothetically, would she lose her vote at this round, or would it be the next time that she went to tribal council? And if so, would she be incentivized to throw the immunity challenge and waste her tribal council when she doesn't have a vote to vote out, you know, Michael or presumably, you know, Angela or Desiree, rather than not have the vote going into the merge?
I assume it's the next tribal council that exists. Like, mm-hmm. I just assume, like, for like narrative reasons, they don't want to be tracking, well, he went to this one, and then like three episodes later, now he's at our tribal council and he doesn't have a vote here.
So you think it would have been that she would have just for that episode not been able to vote at tribal council?
That's my guess, right?
Oh, I think it would be at the next tribal council she goes to.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Okay.
That's interesting. That would be a good thing to have settled for us in terms of what the rules are for Ghost Island. Do you think we will ever see somebody end up playing the game on Ghost Island and losing their vote? Do you think that we will ever see that?
Yes. No. Yeah. No. No.
You don't
yes.
think so?
I have no idea. I mean, that's a tough one, Rob. What do you think?
I don't think we'll ever see that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to then the third advantage, which was found. And I was so confused where we see Wendell starts talking about Nicole and Nicole's birthday. And now we get introduced to Wendell has a girlfriend. Her name is Nicole, and it was her birthday. And he makes the whole tribe sing to his girlfriend.
Yeah. I love that.
You love that. Yeah.
Well, good for him.
I feel like that if somebody else was saying, like, hey, everybody, it's Wendell's girlfriend's birthday. Let's sing to her. I feel like that's a little ballsy to say, hey, everybody, it's my girlfriend's birthday. Let's all sing to my girlfriend right now.
Why?
That's a little presumptive. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that?
No.
It's a way of like bringing everyone together around like your personal life. Yeah. People like to share, and it builds bonds with people if you share details about your personal life. Like, hey guys, and like people love to sing on Survivor. You're desperate to find something to pass the time.
I think it's okay to say, hey everybody, guess what? I have a girlfriend. Hey everybody, it's my girlfriend's birthday today. But I think it's a one bridge too far to say, hey everybody, you know, since it's my girlfriend's birthday today, why don't we all sing a song to my girlfriend right now?
People are looking for activity. If you can be like, let's sing a song and like pass 30 seconds of this incredibly, you know, difficult experience. Like if this will like get us 30 seconds closer to day 39 without being, you know, this crazy boredom that descends on us every day. I think people dig it.
And kudos to CBS for shelling out the rights to the Happy Birthday song.
Happy Birthday song. Yeah, classic. Yes.
That was really kudos to them. So one day this episode will be blocked out on CBS All Access.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a different song we'll be dubbed.
Maybe they'll put in a different song. For Nicole's a jolly good fellow.
I was thinking like some like dubstep or something.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Okay. Stephen, Donathan, boy, what a ring tosser.
Yeah, he did a great job.
I was very, very, very surprised.
He did good.
He was on fire.
Yeah, well, he lost, but you know, he did do well.
And speaking of being on fire, Stephen, what did you think of the move of burning the Malolo tribe flag?
It was cursed, Rob. Yes. It was cursed.
So is that the way to get rid of a survivor curse? Do you need to burn these items?
Hey, I haven't, you know what's cursed, Rob, that we haven't talked about in a while is the know-it-all trophy. Are you
going to burn it?
No, I think this is your opportunity to reverse the curse.
Okay, what do I need to do?
Who you think is going to get further, your horse or mine?
Who are our horses again? Remind me.
I'm Team Wendell.
Yes. I mean that. Hold on. By that, I picked somebody before the season starts. Here you are, Stephen come lately that you watch half the season and then have a winner pick.
Yeah. Who else? You, I thought you were a Kellen fan. We've talked about that.
Certainly. But that was a pick I made in the preseason, yeah. Stephen.
All right, you're not willing to reverse the curse, I guess.
Yeah, okay. No, I would not like to do that. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
What about another any wager
what
you
what
want?
Do you have on what do you have in mind?
Any wager. We'll figure something out.
You just like the action?
Yeah. I'm tired of the trophy. It's like, you know, heaviest.
Why don't next season, before the season starts, you make a pick like everybody else?
After the first episode.
All right, if that's what you need.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. So, all right, Stephen, we have a lot of questions coming up. Hashtag RJP. Anything else you want to touch on before we get to questions?
God. My God, those stakes. What a reward.
Yes. Yes.
Jeez.
Yes. Do you want to talk about the fishy tonight? Because you didn't like the move that Dominic made. So who do you give the fishy to?
I gave it to Wendell and to Michael. For the idol hunting.
Okay.
Yeah. And who would you give it to?
The producers. No. No, I don't know. I don't know. I think I would give it to Libby. Somehow Libby managed to avoid getting voted out.
Yeah. We didn't really see like Libby doing stuff, you know, like maybe it should be to Libby, but we didn't like see her proactively, you know, really jostling for her place in the game. It seemed to be more like it was Dominic and Chelsea's decision between these two people.
She did enough to make Dominic not want to get rid of her.
I guess so.
I don't know. We'll see if it was a pro Libby move, if it was just anti Bradley, as the episode showed. So we'll see all about that. All right. Before we get to your questions, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at Microsoft, who have support for today's podcast from Microsoft Teams, the digital workspace where teams can create, collaborate, and communicate authentically. So important on Survivor and in business, Stephen.
Well, we saw tonight that the Bradley's whole problem was he wasn't communicating with his team.
Yes, he wasn't communicating. He was communicating a little too authentically. He needed to communicate less authentically.
Yeah.
Okay. Microsoft Teams is your hub for teamwork in Office 365, just like in that reward challenge. Very important to have good teamwork. With so much to look after, wouldn't it be great if there was just one place to look for all of your workplace stuff? Teams is that single workspace where you can work, share, and connect with the work people in your work life. Teams brings together your chats, your meetings, your files, and apps all in one place. Take teamwork where you work with apps for mobile and for desktop. So whether you're sprinting towards a deadline or sharing your next big idea, Teams can help you and your team achieve even more. Microsoft Teams is in Office 365. Visit office.com/teams to learn more. Okay, Steven.
You know what a great team is, by the way? Speaking of teams.
Naviti?
But Wendell and Chris are a powerhouse duo.
Yeah.
My God, those two guys.
They could have 10 more rounds of voting before the merge. They won't go to tribal council once.
Yeah. Well, that tribe is stacked. The Yanua tribe is insane. It's like those guys. It's Laurel. It's Jenna. It's somebody else.
Sebastian is there.
Sebastian,
also.
God, yeah.
I mean, yeah. If you had a draft of the people, like that tribe might be like 4 out of the first 5 picks.
Yeah, you might like you. Yeah, I mean, other than Michael, I can't even think of. And Michael, I'm only thinking of that incredible dive into the water. We didn't talk about Michael's dive.
He had a great dive. Now that's how you do it on Survivor.
He reversed the curse of someone else's bad dive.
Did you ever have to dive in the water, Steven?
I think we jumped. Well, definitely in Cambodia, we jumped.
Yeah,
in
when
water.
You got the advantage, you dived in the water, right?
You always have that like vision of like Chet going through your head. And you always think like, don't be Chet. You know, that's the, you must have had to dive in the water.
I think Amazon, only in the All-Stars I had to do. We didn't really have any water challenges in the Amazon. But
they had the little bug, right? That like swims up your, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think in the All-Stars, I think that the challenges involved getting in a boat. So I don't think it was it wasn't so much of a, we had a couple of races, but I think we raced into the water from the shore, I think it was.
On Amazon?
Yeah, in the All-Stars.
On the All-Stars, okay.
Yeah. All right. But nobody cares. Okay. Dominic wants to know, did Donathan become the butterfly of death tonight, Steven?
I don't know what that means.
Yes. He emerged from his cocoon.
Oh, I see. It's like a chrysalis thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like a lot. Like Silence of the Lambs, right? Yeah. Like the death's head butterfly.
Yeah.
Speaking of Donathan's head, his hair is amazing.
On fleek.
Yeah. All right. Olivia wants to know, should Dom have kept Bradley in the game to be a unified disliked force for the original Navides to bridge the gap between him and Chris? So should Dom have kept Bradley in the game just because he would have kept the original Navides together? And does this single move set up original Malolo to move into a power position for the post-merge game? What do you think, Rob?
I don't buy that. If you keep Bradley around, that would have unified Chris and Dominic, because it didn't seem like that was the case at the original Navidi group. I think that Bradley would have just, been a force, maybe had some numbers. Maybe, I think that in some way you're sort of like cutting off another problem for down the road off here. Where if Dominic is so confident, look, I've got the numbers against Chris, but then the next pain in my you-know-what is going to be Bradley and the people that he was with back at the new Malolo, maybe he's just thinking that far ahead that he's taking care of a potential Bradley insurrection before it really takes hold.
That could be that he's like, but that's like, I think we agree that's like way too far down the line, right? But that could be that it's like my immediate problem is Chris, but then I've got like that other group of Navidis to worry about.
Right. Libby's never going to win, but Bradley, he could get, be a problem down the road.
But, by keeping Libby in the game, you've got this faction of Malolo still here. You've got Laurel, Michael, Jenna, right?
Yeah.
And Donathan and Libby, there's still five of them. That's like, it's not a majority at a 13 person merge, but it's like a big plurality, right? That's like a big voting block. That's like a big, you really have
I feel like they won't vote together though. I don't think that I'd be very surprised if they come together as a group next week,
but it's a dangerous possibility.
It is. There is a possibility, but I think that they're going to be sort of like pulled into this Navidi civil war.
Yeah, that's probably right.
And then I could see a situation where then, after a few Navidi get picked off, then they could end up sort of like, hey, like there's five of us now. So if us five vote together, you know, we could do something. But I just don't know how tight they are.
Who do you think of the Malolos is going to go furthest? And are you willing to put the knowing is know-it-all on the line?
I'm not
serious. But who do you think is from the Malolos?
you wouldn't risk it on that?
I don't have an opinion.
Okay. I think that probably Michael Laurel. Michael seems like he's Michael. Best positioned out of that group.
I would say Laurel.
Okay.
I'll wager on it.
Okay. If you want to.
Okay. No,
I've literally nothing to lose. You have the trophy.
Yeah, but yeah. You have to bring it to every podcast. That's the challenge. Okay, you gotta bring it in. Yeah.
What was the last podcast you brought it to?
I bring it out every week. I bring it to the podcast.
From the other room?
I don't know where it is.
All right. This is from Cade. This is, did Dominic gain Libby and Donathan as loyal allies by keeping them safe, or was it a poor move to get rid of Bradley? So
That's the question of the episode.
Let us know on social media if you feel very strongly about good move or bad move for Dominic.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, right, I think that's sort of the one mitigating idea would be that for Dominic, and also for Chelsea, like, why just Dominic? But for Dominic and Chelsea, like, these could be their pocket allies, and maybe in their head, like, that's what they're thinking. I guess it is more Dominic since
he's been with
them.
You feel like that Chelsea had that much agency in what they were going to do?
I don't know. Chelsea had the great observation. I mean, she was talking through it, right? She had it. Her vote was as important as Dominic's there, right? If she changed, well, I guess actually not, right? They have to vote together.
She did seem like she was more of a conduit to Libby. I would say that she was sort of like more of the direct connection to Libby, and that I think that Dominic was relying on Chelsea, you know, and the conversations that she was having with the two women.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Dominic has been with, as you mentioned, Donathan and Libby the whole time.
Since the first swap.
Since the first swap. I mean, maybe it was more his call.
It did seem like it was 100% his call, and Chelsea was on board.
Well, Chelsea said, you know, she did bring up the point that it's a dangerous time to betray your original alliance, like the vote before the merge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did feel like even at tribal council, Jeff was like directing all the questions to Dominic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did seem like that it was Jeff was sort of like pointing it to Dominic, like, hey, what are you doing tonight, Dominic? Is this based on tribal lines?
Yeah. Well, he goes to the people who give him the better, you know, answers. So it doesn't have to be the person who's strategically driving it. It's just gonna be the person who's like the bigger character who's gonna give the bigger, more concise, more pithy, more TV worthy answer.
Mm-hmm. Bradley, did he give you enough here in six episodes that you feel like that he is a surefire character to bring back?
The problem is I don't like ever saying that someone's a surefire character and then they're listening to the podcast and then they're like, you know what, like then they spend the next 3 years of their life just like waiting for the phone to ring.
You say thumbs up, then they wait for you for the phone.
No, but like, you know, just in general, I think it's not great to like encourage the idea of like, you know, maybe you'll come back.
No, he's,
you know,
he was great. They should bring him back, but I think he'll do worse the second time.
Oh, I think he'll do better the second time. Really?
Let's bet the trophy.
here's why. Okay. Like right now he's a law student and he's presumably been a student most of his life. After this, he's going to have to like work for whatever corporation that he works for. He's just going to have to like become better at like interfacing with people, even under stressful circumstances. I think a couple of years in corporate America is going to mellow him out. I speak from experience, having been a young Bradley and now, you know, being, having my rough edges worn away. I feel like he will actually.
Is that what happened?
Better. I don't know. I don't know what happened to me.
Jonas James says, Robin Steven, here's a good question. How is Wendell going to hide that necklace since it's so big? Michael hid the idol in his pants. How is this one going to be hidden? Okay. Steven, I know that you collaborate
Hammer
with
pants.
Eric Reichenbach in terms of the People blog and Eric's car. Has Eric mentioned anything to you about the return of his necklace tonight?
No, you know what? We were texting about it. He drew a great comic that has the necklace in it. So I direct you to my blog. I've gotten crap on this podcast for being like, check out my blogs to see the fishies. But in fact, I cannot describe the picture for you because it is a picture. It is a picture.
Yes. Could Wendell wear the immunity necklace as a belt?
Yeah, it's a pickle. I mean, what kind of bags do they have? Like, I really don't know how he's going to sneak it into tribal council. It's a great question. Like, what sort of like they always have some bags, but even so, like, that's going to be bursting at the seams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, hey, look, so that's the thing about these advantages. Some of them are sort of like unwieldy.
Yeah. As it matured, it became even more cursed.
Wendell's like, I'm never going to do the same thing. It's like, yeah. Because who are you going to give it away to? You're not going to get tricked by like Suri and Parvati. And you're probably not going to make the same mistake that Eric made.
Yeah.
Because nobody.
It's happened twice.
Why? Well, who else did it happen to?
Brandon Hance. Same thing.
Oh, yeah. I guess they're right.
Yeah. It could be a third time.
His idol was really cursed. It didn't even get to Ghost Island.
this is the third, third time's the charm.
Mm-hmm.
Give it away. You know, maybe it'll be the game saving move for him.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Mr. The Great, Peter the Great wants to know, can we now agree that Dom jumping into the water twice with Chet like form proves he was throwing that challenge like Jamie Dugan losing a puzzle piece as big as Eric's necklace in China?
We think that Dominic was throwing the challenge. I don't think so.
I
definitely do not think he was throwing the challenge because I think that the show would have shown us that he was throwing the challenge.
Yeah, that's my attitude.
Yeah, I mean, if he's throwing the challenge to vote out Bradley, I definitely think that we would have seen that.
Yeah, although it would have given it away, right? Like it really would. That would have been a spoiler for a big surprise.
You know, basically, if he says that he's throwing the challenge because he wants that he has the numbers and he can do whatever he wants, then I feel like that they would show us that.
Yeah, probably so.
Okay. All right, Steven. What about from Brendan Fitzy?
The great Brendan Fitzpatrick. This was a great move for Dom, as Brad would be 100% a number for Chris Army at the merge, right? Whereas Libster and Donathan are malleable.
No, I think that he was not a vote for Chris. Bradley hasn't been with Chris since the original Navidi, and I think that he was with Wendell and Dominic.
Yeah, he was. I believe that is correct. And he said to Dominic, "You're my number one ally out here."
Yeah, I thought that he was in an incredible position with teamed up with Dominic. But Dominic is a loose cannon.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What about John?
All right, John wants to know, does Chris scream quintessential merge boot? He is slowly but surely digging his own grave. Or on the flip side, do you think Chris versus Dom will be the storyline of the season that goes until the end game?
I can't imagine these rivalries on Survivor, you know, they're great while they last, but there are not too many times that we see, the rivalries end up being longstanding. Like the one person is going to go home.
I think one of these guys will go home within the first two boots of the merge. I was sure one of them is going home at the merge boot, except for what happened tonight. It makes me worry about somebody else.
Yeah. I feel like that they're both going to get through this first vote.
Yeah. Who do you think is going home at the merge?
Seabass.
I think Kellen.
Kellen. Okay. That'd be something.
If not, she's making it to the final. If she's not the merge boot, she's going to be at the final tribal.
Okay. Amanda Fallon, are you counting on the jury?
What?
Are you counting on the jury?
Oh.
No, okay.
Yeah.
I have to check all the loopholes on these on these bets with Steven.
I'm willing to call my shots here, Rob. I've got shots. I'm like, Little John, I got so many shots.
Amanda Fallon wants to know, do you like the no puzzle aspect to the immunity challenge? Yeah, do you? I mean, they've done this before. Sometimes a carnival game at the end instead of the puzzle. What do you prefer?
I like a mix. I think a mix is good. Different skill sets being rewarded at different times. So I was happy with this.
To be honest with you, I think that people might think that this is probably against type. I think that the carnival game is more exciting at the end than a puzzle.
You've always been a fan of the carnival. In fact, when they first really like went hard with the carnival game, which I think was in Fans versus Fans Favorites 2, right?
Caramon.
You were really into it.
I think it's a lot more exciting where it's like, that one person could come from behind and then it's like, Malcolm comes in and he's hot at the end. And I think that it tends to bring more excitement in terms of like, people doing a puzzle. you know, it's tense, but I feel like it's not always exciting.
Yeah, and it's hard to, like, you can't always follow along with puzzles.
Like the ball bounces in and then bounces out. You know, it's, you know, it could go either way.
All right, Paige Williams wants to know, okay, guys, I need y'all to do the math. Who would align with those four now that Bradley is gone? Michael, Jenna, Laurel, that's it, right? I doubt original Navidi is going to work with Dom and Chelsea now.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, how pissed are people going to be that a Navidi loyalist ends up going home, where I would think that the people that were with that, that Navidi five, I mean, Chelsea ends up flipping there, but then Kellen and Desiree and Seabass, I think, are probably going to be pretty upset about this.
Yeah, although, you know, Kellen and Desiree have been with Chelsea for a long time. So, you know, they had a lot of history there. So maybe they'll forgive it.
Mm. Okay. Leo says, how come Donathan and Libby agree with sending Kellen to Ghost Island? It would have been a way better move to go to Rocks with the potential of an original Malolo going to Ghost Island. Another note. No hilarious confessional from Seabass this week. Okay.
There was a tongue shot though, right? There was like a Seabass like tongue shot.
His tongue is like out of control. Like his tongue is like a horror movie where it's like they put like a dead person's tongue in his mouth and he's trying to like escape and kill people. Watch out, Jenna.
Wait, what was the question?
Why did Donathan and Libby go along with, hey, let's send Kellen to Ghost Island again?
So I think it's because basically, to Rob's point, you know, they're like playing up this idea that they're great allies now with
right. They don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah. They want to like show how much they're on team Dominic so that if they do lose, they don't you know, get in trouble.
Okay. All right. Then from John Percival wants to know, doesn't Chris have an idol? I don't believe so.
Have an idol? I don't think so.
Yeah. Not this Chris. They have to say.
Okay. Well, Chris.
Okay. Will Rob or Steven be featured at Ghost Island? Well, Steven, they've teased that Steven's advantage is going to be on this season. Steven, I really thought that they talked about, oh, the vote steal from Michaela. What?
I don't
even remember Michaela having a vote steal.
I hope they didn't miss mine. Like, cause there was that one that, you know, Callan didn't play for. I hope that wasn't the vote steal that, you know, I really hope that my thing, I want my like little flash, but Steven screwed up when he, you know, voted
Steven's
for Joe.
Steven's bonehead move.
I'm excited about it. And I hope they have me Joe voting for Joe.
I mean, this whole Michaela story was like, I feel like this is a little bit of a retcon here of like, yeah, Michaela didn't see the thing, but then Sarah had it and then she gave it to Sari and Sari tried to play it. But then Troyzan said it was non-transferable and then Sarah was mad. And then she used it on the revote. Like, I feel like we yada yada'd a lot of that story.
Yeah. It really came down to like Michaela missing it under her feet, which was, you know, not a great moment, but also like not some like curse. It wasn't a curse. I mean, I don't know. Maybe like the witch who hands out these curses, like that pissed her off.
The witches? Is that what happened to your advantage? You got cursed by the witches?
Maybe so. Who's like cursing these things is what I want to know.
Allison Grodner.
Allison Grodner.
Yeah.
Different franchise.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Chris Devine says, could you use a different stick than the idol to try to fake out Jeff, maintain the real idol? I don't know. I think that they know if you're going to hand them a fake stick. Yeah.
That's a good one.
All right. Steven, I think that's that looks like all the questions that we have here for tonight.
Episode.
Yeah. So the pre-merge is in the books. I really thought that we were coming into this episode tonight with a real ho-hum end to the pre-merge here. You and I disagreed on the Stephanie episode of how exciting that was. What was your take on last week's episode?
I was really disappointed by last week's episode, but ultimately last week's episode,
What part of it?
Well, by James going home.
Yes. So you're disappointed by the result.
Yeah. You know, there was some drama. I actually really liked last week's episode. You know, there was no like big chaotic thing, but I really like this cast. And I like that it was just like a really human drama of where's Angela going to go? Is she going to side with James, this guy who means X thing to her, or is going to, she's going to side with Kellen and the Navidis, which means Y to her. I really like that element. It's like one person, they have a very, they have a choice between two things, and it comes down to, you know, what each signifies to her. I think that's like, that's interesting.
Okay. And then I really thought that tonight, I was like, boy, kind of a sluggish end to the premiere. We were so excited about the first couple episodes, but then, yeah, this was a real startling outcome for me to have Bradley go out, and now we go into the merge, and now I guess we could go anywhere from here. Let's talk about what's coming up here in the next couple of days. Okay, of course, tomorrow morning, Taryn Armstrong is going to be live with the Big Brother Canada overnight update. He'll also recap Wednesday night's episode and get everything set up for the eviction night episode coming up on Thursday. Of course, exit interview with Bradley. You're going to want to not miss that one. Should be a lot of fun talking with Bradley. And of course, yeah, Thursday night, that Big Brother Canada 6 eviction night show that I alluded to as well, live on Thursday night. Yes.
You know what I also wanted to, you know what I love? I loved it when Bradley's was leaving and like, you couldn't tell if he was being serious or sarcastic.
About what
good luck
say?
From now on, guys.
Yeah.
Adventure of a lifetime. Like, did he mean that? Like, it is the event. Like, was he being serious or was he being snide? Like,
I gotta
really
watch it
tell.
Again. I gotta watch it again and check for tone.
Yeah, for but it was tone. Like so it was like so on the razor's edge. Like you really I wonder if he even knows if he was being serious or snide. Adventure of a lifetime.
Yeah.
So great.
We'll see. All right, and then on Thursday, I'm going to speak with Jessica Johnston. So, look, I heard the call. You guys said, hey, Rob, too many millennials versus Gen X, okay? So we got Jessica Johnston for the podcast tomorrow. Send in your questions, survivor@robhasawebsite.com. And, of course, get ready for the feedback show coming up this weekend with Aubrey. And, of course, if you would like to go even deeper into this crazy world of Rob Has a Podcast, you can become a patron and get all of the patron-only shows that we do. Steven, this past patron 5 for 5 that I did with Nicole Sestrino, I think it was one of the better ones we've done recently. Maybe top 5 even for the patron 5 for 5. Wow. Check that out. Yeah.
What makes it so good?
I think usually how agitated I am.
You were worked up.
Worked up. So very fun stuff going on Patreon. Go check it out. robhaswebsite.com/Patreon. If you're interested in that sort of thing. Or if not, just continue to enjoy the podcast like you've been doing. Okay?
I got a question.
Yes.
Did you say Nicole Sesternino to differentiate between Wendell's Nicole?
Yes. Yes. Nicole, yes. Yeah. I'm not sure what her last name is. So we'll clear up the confusion on that. Steven, what's the hashtag for today?
Oh God, I don't know. What do you like? What do you like?
I like hashtag apostate.
Okay, hashtag apostate. I like it.
Not prostate.
Whoa. Wow.
Not hashtag prostate. That's, yeah, that's talk to Dr. Mike
that's
about
Dr.
that.
Mike.
That's Dr. Mike's hashtag of prostate. All right. Yeah. Steven, great to catch up with you. I'm so excited about the merge next week.
Yeah, the merge is always the episode of the season. It's always the most fun. And so no matter what, it will be fun.
Yes. And so, Stephen, 3 weeks from tonight, we'll be in Boston, Massachusetts at Laugh Boston.
Wow. There are going to be some laughs at Laugh Boston.
There should be. Should be a very fun night with everybody there. So really looking forward to that.
Can I tell you what I'm looking forward to? I want to get a picture with you and with Nick Iadanza. Just the two.
That's fine. And people will see just how much we look alike, Stephen. I think you're going to be disappointed.
Who knows which is which?
Maybe we'll switch shirts and then mess with you. Okay? All right.
Yeah.
Steven, take care. Thanks so much, Scott St. Pierre, behind the scenes, and lots to come on the podcast. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.